Welcome to a special episode of the 8-Bit Geek. We don't have a normal number for you this week because it's the end of the year. It is also the end of the decade. We have last week we did a top five of 2019, and this week we're going to be doing something even bigger. We're going the top five of the decade. So we're going to be listing out our favorite shows, movies, and games of the decade. So you're here, if you're listening live, you're in for something special because in the chat, I want you guys to debate and argue and agree. I want you to debate Kev's. I want you to argue Doug's, and I want you to agree with my list. That's how it's going to go.
Wait a minute.
I mean, I could see mine coming, really. It's that's usually how it goes.
So if you're new around here, normally we're a geeky show that we have a lot of fun with. We put some comedy into the news segment, into the new world of the news world of geekery. But this week we're going to do something cool. My name is Jeremy.
I thought you were about to say something else. I was getting ready for my name is Jeremy and blah, blah, blah. I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin. Happy New Year.
So this is the last show of the year. It's been a crazy ride. When we were doing the diner this week, this morning, we were just talking about how this show started in 2012, and it'll be 8 years in 2020 that the 8-Bit Geek has been around. And to me, that's nuts, man.
Yeah.
The only thing I've had last longer is my relationship with Ashley.
And your son.
Maybe this will last longer.
Nah.
Yeah, so it's been a crazy ride. It's been a wonderful ride. And we have we just have made a lot of great friends. We've met a lot of great people along the way. We've met some of our idols. We've gotten choked up. We've sat with, one of us sat with their favorite actor from a terrible movie.
Oh, yeah. Doug, it's not that bad.
We all know.
We're not naming names, but I'll just say this. It was a proud moment, and I have that. I have that his autograph framed in my curio cabinet.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
I thought you were about to say in your Keurig.
And then
in my Keurig.
In my Keurig.
I can paste him every time. I don't even drink coffee, guys. Come on.
So that was, you met one of your idols. I also had the chance to meet my idol, and Doug robbed that from me.
That was not this year.
And then he died. It wasn't this year, but it was this decade.
There's no proof.
You've ruined his decade.
And then
you have no proof because you didn't meet him. So you can either confirm nor deny that happened.
And then Doug met one of his idols in Ben Savage. Mm-hmm. So everyone.
He almost punched someone in the ribs or kicked him or who was that?
Yeah, Will Friedle.
Yeah.
He played Eric Matthews on Boy Meets World and also voice actor.
So yeah, it's been a good decade. So let's close it out by going over some of our favorite TV shows, movies, and games. But before we do, if you're enjoying what you're hearing, you can always head over to the website. It is www.the8bitgeek.com. We've got links there to our Discord. We've got links there to the other shows that we do on the network. And we also have a link over to our Patreon. You can join the Patreon because we throw a whole bunch of extra content onto there, including extended shows. We do a daily show as well called The Diner. And then we give you a whole bunch of extra stuff that you may enjoy. So please go do that. It helps support us. And going into the new year, we have some big plans that we're not ready to reveal. But Saga is going to get a huge upgrade, and I can't wait to tell everybody about it. And so that's where your money is going to help is with Saga, with doing that big upgrade.
Sorry, I was thinking about the diner.
The diner's getting also an upgrade. We have to pay for new seats.
Paying to actually, I mean, we pay to eat there, but now we have to pay to record there.
Yep. And so all of your money goes towards a great cause, and it's us. So do that. We're a great cause. All right, let's get into it, shall we? Let's have a lot of fun. We'll start with TV shows. And Kev, I'm going to have you start off.
Did you?
And then we'll go Doug, and then we'll go me. So,
okay.
Kev, what is your number five top TV show of the last 10 years?
TV show, and this is including streaming, right? We are talking streaming. So I got to go. Yep. Then this is perfect. Stranger Things. Stranger Things is my number five. It would have been higher up on the list, but once again, going through and looking at all these amazing shows that have come out in the last decade that have come and gone, it's putting Stranger Things at five is just nuts. But I love this show so much. All three seasons have been fire. I love the kids, and I love the way that they interact with each other. Like, they got they just seem like they're friends in real life, and it just seems the way they interact, it's just so genuine. And I love seeing, you know, kind of chokes me up thinking about the show, just because I know it's going to end soon. There's only one more season left, but man, fucking love Stranger Things. I thought it's got that 80s vibe. Now it's kind of slowly creeping into the 90s, I think, isn't it? Or is it like, is it only like a year later with this last season?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I think it's like 86. So, I mean, right now they're probably only in 88, 89.
And also you get like Winona Ryder doing shit again, which is awesome. I missed Winona Ryder. And she does a fantastic job in this. So, yeah, I'm just excited. But that's my number five.
Nice. Doug?
Hey. Hey.
Hey.
Hey.
Okay. I just want to say, a lot of these things, there's so many fucking awesome choices for the amount of good shit that we've had on TV, video games, and movies. This is a fucking incredibly hard list. It's a shame because I know people are going to be mad. They're like, why didn't you mention bleh? Or why didn't you mention bleh? Trust me. I would if I could.
Also, all the stuff that you say that should have been on the list is probably on the list if you gave us five more spots.
Yeah. Or 30 more spots.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was just like, oh my God, HBO had so many fucking good shows in the last 10 years. They really fucking changed the game. And then Netflix, like, oh my God. But no, my number five is also Stranger Things.
Nice.
There you go.
Yeah. That was... I haven't changed anything yet. I'm curious to see if I actually end up changing stuff as we go. Like, oh shit, I totally forgot about that. Mm-hmm. But yeah. No, number five was Stranger Things for all the same reasons. It's a great show. And it was one of those shows that like couldn't have happened had it not been for Netflix. I feel like, I don't think this show would have done well on normal TV. And that's the thing. It's like HBO and Netflix and all these streaming services and stuff have kind of pushed the envelope as far as like what TV can be. And I think that's why we've had such good TV the last 10 years, is that they've been like, man, fuck trying to cram shit into a 2.5 hour movie. Give me 8 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll tell a really fucking good story for the same budget or less. And so it's been incredible. So Stranger Things.
Nice.
So good.
Number five is going to be Game of Thrones.
Mm,
and okay. It would have placed higher if the last 2.5 seasons were amazing. Maybe, I mean, you could possibly argue 3 seasons, right? Yeah. You could probably argue. Yeah. So, but Game of Thrones, my wife and I watched it religiously together. It brought us, it brought us closer together, watching people get killed, have sex, and...
You know, just watching those that brother and sister just fuck. Really did it for us.
Ugh. Man, we'd have sex every Sunday night. But she would be like, call me your Lannister.
No, but
Game of Thrones.
Be like, the Lannister pays her debts.
Yeah, here's my debt. Any hoozles. Game of Thrones.
Yikes.
it was a ton of fun. I mean, it engrossed us all, man. It had a nation just gripped.
Yeah, trust me, you just engrossed us all too.
You started it. You helped with that one. So that's my number five, Game of Thrones. Kev, what's your number four?
My number four is something that I'm currently watching now. It's long gone, Arrow. But Parks and Rec. Because it started in 2009, but it ended, like, pretty much the bulk of the series is
it's in the 2010s, so it counts.
Yeah, yeah.
2015.
God, like, we were talking about, like, hot takes earlier, and I think it was you, Doug, that said, like, no, it was Jeremy.
No, he gives Jeremy credit to everything goes to you.
Oh, who said that brilliant
Jeremy
thing?
Said that,
oh, it must have been
Parks and Rec
it
better
can't
than Office,
be Jeremy.
Yeah. I agree, though.
Now, what'd you say? Because I talked over you.
I said Jeremy posted that Parks and Rec was better than The Office, and I agree.
Yeah.
Like, and especially going through, like, I haven't seen every episode yet, so this is my first, like, finally sitting down and watching it, as opposed to when it was just on TV, and I'm loving it.
Yeah. I will say that it is a hot topic in the saga chat. and we have one person who refuses to acknowledge that fact, even though everyone else agrees. I won't name names, Caleb Payne, but I'm just saying that he is wrong.
Thank you, Ready Magic, for subscribing with Twitch Prime 20 months.
20 months.
Good job.
But I really do love that show, and I'm really, we're on season 5 right now. I don't know when it going off of Netflix soon. I think it is.
It'll head over to the NBC app whenever they launch it.
Oh, okay. But I'm trying to get
called
it in
Flamingo,
like, 7 seasons
or something.
Yeah.
Peacock.
Oh, okay.
So I was typing, when does Parks and Rec go off Netflix? The first Google, like, search this. When does Parks and Rec get good?
Oh, God.
It's always good, whoever Googled that.
That was Caleb. He makes a whole blog.
The contract expires October 2020.
Yeah. Oh, okay, cool. I got plenty of time then.
God, I can't wait for Peacock to launch, so that way I could just be like, hey, did you check out that show on the cock?
Check out the cock.
Other things.
That's
on
their slogan. Check out the cock.
Check out the cock.
Check out this cock.
It's really over with the 18 to 34 year olds.
Oh, man. When you're like, man, I really wanted to watch The Office. It used to be on Netflix, but I got cock blocked.
Denial of service.
Perfect.
But 30 Rock, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Cheers, Frasier, Friday Night Lights, Everybody Loves Raymond. Nobody loves
I can't
Raymond.
Wait.
Saturday
I can't.
Night Live, Will and Grace, and a lot more will be available on Peach.
Oh, my gosh. Cock. Hey, at the end of 2020, we're going to be like, man, cock has gotten so big. The cock has gotten huge.
The load on which the cock carries.
Oh, God.
It delivers to my eyes.
Doug, what's your number four?
I don't even know. No,
the cock is in 4K.
I'm too busy looking at all the details about this cock.
They really God. Didn't think about the name of this streaming service. The cock streams all night.
24-hour cock streaming.
I'm going to kill Jer. Speaking of cock jokes, my number four is Rick and Morty.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and that actually knocked out another cartoon that I had. I had Bob's Burgers on there originally. And then I went, oh, shit. No, what I like more than Bob's Burgers, Rick and Morty. Ooh, Rick and Morty's been so fucking good and so funny. Dan Harmon can't fucking fail.
That's true.
Neither can Justin Roiland, I guess. It's pretty good. His stuff's pretty good, too. But, yeah, such a fucking funny show.
Can we just freeze frame this chat and then just save it in the archives? It's too good.
Yeah. It's got so many friends leeching on my cock, says Snorkel. Ryan, can I use your cock? Ask Ratty.
And Ryan says, you can access the cock from anywhere.
The cloud. The cock cloud. The
cloud. Oh, no. Oh, no. You could get... Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
No. No, 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 no. There's some terrible, terrible jokes to be made. Like, yeah. Oh man, I wonder what children's programs the Cox.
Oh no.
Oh, Cock for Kids. Oh, we're, no, that's bad.
You're going to hell.
Delete that shit.
God.
Oh my God.
Yeah, oh man, Saturday morning. Can't wait to see what's on the kids' cock.
This room spiked in viewers at the wrong time.
Cock for Kids.
Snorkel says clip it. Oh my God, yes, clip Kevin saying
cock
that.
Junior or little
Oh my God. All right. Let's get back on topic.
Oh my God. And since they're owned by, I think MNC is still owned by, the same people that own Nickelodeon. What are they fucking called? What's that company called?
No. Boy, that was 30 Rock.
No, yeah. Oh, God, what are they fucking called? Anyways, doesn't matter.
Viacom.
Viacom, yes. If they could bring back the smiley face from Nick Jr. and use that as the kids' thing, Rock Jr.
No.
All right, my number four is Key and Peele.
Oh, that's a good one.
What a revolutionary TV show. And yes, maybe it stole from the Chappelle Show. I don't care. They made it their own, and I don't know if there was another show that went more viral with its skits than Key and Peele. They had me laughing for years. I love it so much. And, I mean, you could say literally either. There's two phrases that everyone is going to know. You could just say, bitch. And everyone knows what you're talking about. But you said that, though. Bitch. Of course I did. And then there's also, hey.
Put the pussy,
put
on, the
chain pussy
wax.
On the chain wax.
That's not a thing.
That's not a thing. Yeah, it is.
And they've ruined the lives of anyone named Aaron. Because there's no way you're not going to get away with going, Aaron.
Aaron.
Aaron. Yeah. Also, this with the NFL, especially, where it's just like.
Oh, the names.
One pump, two pump.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and there's the third pump. There's throw the flag.
And, of course, the anger.
Slebedez.
Oh, the Slebedez. And then you've got the anger, the president's anger translator.
Mm-hmm. Luther.
Luther. And yep. He actually did it at the presidential dinner or whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah.
The press dinner.
One they have it with the press dinner. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
That was great. Anyways, that's my number four. Kev, what's your number three?
My number three is keeping along with the Dan Harmon love, and that is Community. Mm. Community is my number three. I don't know if you guys watched it or not. I think.
Fuck yeah, I did. Watch the fuck out of it.
Loved that show. And like Donald Glover, that was his kind of breakout show, I think, after 30, or he was doing 30 Rock as well, right? Or he was a writer for 30 Rock?
He was a writer for 30 Rock, had a cameo on 30 Rock.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say that was his breakout to the masses. I mean, he had stuff on YouTube and internet videos before with Derek Comedy.
Yeah. I loved him. Like him on Community was amazing. That it was like a perfect cast. Like even Chevy Chase as much of a dick as he was great in that role as Pierce Hawthorne. And just, it was such a fun show to watch. And it was quotable for its time. Like everyone that was in it was fantastic. Everyone had like their own, like just great personality. They've all done great things coming out of that show too. Danny Pewdie was doing that superhero show for a little bit. And he, what was it? The Not Heroes or whatever he was playing. And he was working in like The Office. Ah, I can't remember.
Are you talking about Powerless?
Powerless, yeah. He was in Powerless, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so
That show was so underrated, so good, and I was really hoping that the DC Universe streaming service shit would pick that back up.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
So fucking good.
But, yeah,
there's,
I mean, just...
Alan Tudyk in that, too.
Well, at least he's still with him in the other show.
Dude, he's on a lot of the DC streaming stuff. He's also the voice of the Joker on the new Harley Quinn animated show that's happening.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I didn't know that. So, yeah, my number three is Community. Absolutely loved it.
Nice.
That's a good one.
Doug?
My number three is Black Mirror.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Some of the earlier seasons, back when it was just a BBC show, I think it was better than some of the newer stuff. But my God, what a great series. I mean, I'm excited every season to see like what crazy fucking shit they're gonna do and stories they're gonna tell. But yeah, Black Mirror.
All right,
that's a good one.
I chose Stranger Things for my number three.
Oh, nice. Okay. Good.
For all the same reasons, I don't think I need to dive deeper into it other than to say that that show created a resurgence of the 80s, and you can see that evidence in the movies that came out this year, and I mean in not this year, but this decade, and since it came out. And so there's been this big 80s vibe thing going on, and I thank them for it, and I love that show. It's absolutely phenomenal. I've loved every season, and so... Yeah, can't wait for the next season.
They kind of brought synthwave up to the mainstream. Like, they were, because with that theme song of theirs, like, and now you hear a lot of songs following suit.
There were so many rap remixes of that intro, and they were pretty good, too.
But it's pretty crazy how, like, many different things use that. In the newest Borderlands DLC, there's a background song just like that. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, XO, for the 5 months of Twitch Prime.
Yeah. Hell yeah,
excellent. Let's move on to number dose.
Two, mine is American Horror Story. Mm. That whole series, man, has been one of those shows that, like, if I can't catch it live, I want to, like, get to it as soon as it's available. Because, like, I don't want to get it spoiled by anyone. I want to catch everything, and I'm just so hooked to that show. So, thankfully, I got into it, like, I think on the third season. So, I got to binge watch the first two seasons. And... fell in love with it. The actors that they represent different characters in each different season, and it's unbelievable. They're just their dynamic of acting. So one season you're gonna love someone, the next season you're gonna hate them, but you know, just because they're so well at their role. So, but yeah. Just I can't wait for their last season.
Awesome. And Doug,
my number two is Parks and Rec.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a great show from beginning to end. Unlike The Office, I would say, like, The Office's first season was not very good. It was hard to get into. I think it got better as it went along. Parks and Rec kind of also had a little bit of a rough first season, but it's still good. Mm-hmm. Even in the grand scheme of things, like, it's still a good season and much better than The Office. It was a fun show with a great, like, rogues gallery of characters. Where it was just the most ridiculous people, but then some of the best, like, just reoccurring characters as well. Mm-hmm. Even if they're just, like, again, maybe once or twice a season and stuff. This shit was just phenomenal. Great cameos, great storytelling, hilarious jokes that last for seasons. And just writers that paid attention to the show that they were making. There's so many times you see these sitcoms that, like, you know, they set something up in one season and then by the next season they've completely forgotten about it. And this show, I mean, like, literally they mention Tom's Bistro in, like, season one, and then it comes to fruition in, like, season five.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's just great. And there's just so many things like that where it's just these little jokes and stuff that then pay off later or remain relevant throughout the show. Mm-hmm. And then Chris Pratt.
Mm-hmm.
I love, there's a joke at one point where Chris Pratt, you can tell he went to go work on Jurassic Park and Marvel, and he comes back on the show and he's lost weight and they're like, wow, Andy, you look great. And he's like, yeah, just stop drinking beer. And, like, that was the reason why he was fat. Yeah. So funny. But Parks and Rec, man, phenomenal show.
My number two is going to be The Good Place. And it's up there for me. I don't know if it's the smart writing, the cast and characters. I think it might be Ted Danson. I don't know if I've loved another character, I mean another person more on TV than Ted Danson. Even with his previous show, who was he in the show with? And it had the Sesame Street thing we just watched with him on Lip Sync Battle. Who was Big Bird?
Jason Schwartzman?
Huh?
Oh, wait, no. I'm sorry.
Who was Big Bird fighting?
Jason Schwartzman.
Yeah, Jason Schwartzman. Yeah, his show.
Okay, that's what I was saying, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Jason Schwartzman. So they had a show together, and it was like a detective kind of show. and it was a comedy. It was kind of dark. It was fantastic. And I watched that, and Ted Danson was great in that as well. I think you should watch that. That was good stuff. But
he's ever been in a bad thing, man. He's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know, man. He electrifies everything he touches. So, but The Good Place, I love it so much. It's such a funny comedy, and I'm really sad that again this show is coming to the end. It's in its last season, and I could watch it, you know, for another few seasons. But I think they're going out at the right time, because they were like, you know, we have a story to tell. Let's just tell that story and walk away from it. So The Good Place is number 2 on my list. And that brings us to number 1, the number one show on our list for the decade. Kev, what's your number 1?
No pressure. No pressure.
Cheers.
Cheers from 1981 till 1992. That is my decade. Very similar to Cheers, and it is
Wings.
Number 1, Frasier. No, it's The Good Place for all the reasons you said.
Nice.
And I just, yeah, Ted Danson's amazing in it. Kirsten Dunst. Yes. After she got off of Interview with a Vampire. No, I can't remember her name for some reason. Yes. Thank you. Kristen Bell. I keep wanting to say Kristen Stewart. I know I'm bad with names, but no, she's amazing at it. Just everybody, this well cast, well written, and they're going out on their own terms. Like Jeremy, I'm sad to see it go, but I'm glad that they're getting their own ending as opposed to having to, like, you know, Supernatural it and go like 10 seasons too long.
Yeah.
Sorry for Supernatural fans.
Yeah.
Doug, what's your number 1?
I think it's really interesting because Parks and Rec, The Office, and The Good Place are all done by like the same people. It's all Michael Schur and company. So it just speaks volumes to them as writers and producers of television. Some great fucking shit. But no, my number 1 is a newer show, aired this year, just ended. It's one of the best shows I've seen in a long time. It's The Mandalorian. Like, wow. That show fucking ruled. And it was exciting to see Star Wars live action TV show that worked and worked well and was well thought out and planned and an amazing story and great. I mean, I love the Clone Wars, the animated show. I love Rebels, the animated show. It's the same people, but now live action, and obviously the same people and company, because there's, you know, they got Jon Favreau and plus all these other phenomenal directors they were able to get to direct these episodes. Taika Waititi, you know, Jon Favreau. Well, Jon Favreau was a producer and stuff, but it was fucking great. I'm excited for season 2. And
if it had another season, it would have made my list.
But
since it didn't have multiple, that's a good one though, man.
Because it's a good season.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I'm not surprised you added it.
Yeah, you know, even if for some reason something happened and it didn't get a season 2. Well, I'd be disappointed because I'd be like, well, I got to know what happens. But at the same time, I'd be like, man, Disney fucked up, because that was one of the greatest shows they've ever made ever. This is the best Star Wars we've had, in my opinion, since they've taken over. Yeah. And I don't get me wrong, I loved Rogue One and Solo also. Like, I love those. But as far as, like, what is the best Star Wars that they've given us? The Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
Hands down.
Agreed.
My number 1 is going to be Parks and Rec.
Nice.
I mean, it's everything that Doug said about it, everything that Kev said. Kev, was it on your list?
Yeah.
Number four. That's right. Everything you guys said about it. What more can I say? It was fantastic. It was funny. That's another show that Ashley and I watched together, and we both absolutely fell in love with it. We actually bought each other the Pyramid of Greatness posters the same year for Christmas, mm-hmm. 1 year. And she handed it to me. I opened it. I went, no fucking way. And I handed her the same exact one. And we just both start dying laughing over it. So that's it's awesome. It was our favorite. And so number 1 for the decade. All right, let's move on to movies. This time I'll start us off. Kev, you can go second, and Doug can finish up. My number 5 for movies of the decade. This was really difficult for me
This was super difficult.
There were so many great movies, and I didn't know where to place everything, but I tried real hard, so please don't get mad at me too much about my list. But my number five is going to be Mad Max Fury Road. And, man, what a spectacle that was. And even though there wasn't a lot of dialogue in it, just the filmmaking, the old school filmmaking that took place on that, was incredible. The movie was incredible. I really enjoyed it. It was something different, while familiar at the same time, if that makes sense. And it's something that, I didn't know that I missed. And when I saw it, I fell in love with it. So I want to go back and rewatch it. It's been a while, but yeah, I loved it. So, Mad Max is my number five. Kev?
Nice. My number five is, oh man. And this, I'm in the same boat with you, Jared. It was really hard to compile, but it's not, I'm trying to do it in the best of orders. The way I compiled mine was like, how many movies did I go back and watch every time? Or like, how many times did I watch something? And also, if it was like, if I saw it somewhere, would I stop and watch it and just not change the channel? So yeah. I kind of determined that as in my top five.
That's fair.
And my number five is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm. Holy shit, so is mine.
Is it?
Hey!
Both times our number fives have been the same.
Dude, I fucking love Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, it, I had no clue what I was getting into. All I knew, it was going to be a space show. Yeah, like a space movie. It's going to have Chris Pratt. And that's, you know, like I said, I knew him off of Parks and Rec. And then it's also directed by James Gunn. And I'm like, I fucking love James Gunn. I've been following him since all the Troma shit. So it's like, I got to see how this goes. And man, I walked out of that theater smiling ear to ear, like grinning. Like, it was so good. And it's still like, if I'm ever watching something, or if it's ever just available, I'm going to watch it. Yeah.
Agreed. And also the soundtrack.
Yeah. The soundtrack too. Yeah. I own that soundtrack and I still listen to it to this day.
It's phenomenal. It's just a great collection of music. Again, like 70s and 80s, like kind of rock and stuff, which is
and like, you know, yacht rock.
Yeah. And it's just good stuff. And it's so funny. And how it fits the character of Star-Lord and stuff, because, you know, it's like the tape his mom gave him before she passed. And so, yeah, it's just phenomenal soundtrack, and then a fun story with a funny, lovable lead and a great ensemble. And then, like, yeah, because, you know, you're going, oh great, a talking raccoon, and then he talks and it fucking just hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think I was going to care for Bradley Cooper as the voice. Mm-hmm. Nah, that's good. I like it a lot.
Then you have Batista, where you're like, oh, fuck, great, another pro wrestler trying to be an actor. He fucking nailed it. And, like, he doesn't have to wrestle anymore, because now he's, like, a fucking, I don't know if he's an award-winning actor, but he's definitely, like, he's, because he did Blade, I don't know if he got anything for Blade Runner.
No.
He was in that, now.
No, and then he was also in Bond and stuff. But yeah, he's definitely like made a name for himself as, you know, an actor. And then, yeah, I would say like the surprising thing is that he has good like comedy chops.
Mm-hmm. So good.
Which I think are even more played on in Guardians 2 with the like, you can see me. Like, I've gotten so good I can turn myself invisible by not moving. Hey, how did you know I was here? Or whatever. Like,
all he needed was a leather jacket and to be pushed up against a wall. How did he see me?
Yeah, seriously. Camel's boy.
How much do clothes cost in Matrix?
Okay, so my number four is going to be a movie that came out in 2017, Get Out.
Nice.
It was written and directed by Jordan Peele. I did not expect to absolutely love this film, but I did. It was creepy. Like, he just fucking nailed it, man. And boy oh boy, what a great concept, what a even better film. Like, I just can't say enough good things about it. I loved it. I loved the cast, and yeah, man, that movie, the budget was only $4.5 million and ended up taking in $255 million, which is insane. So that's my number four.
Nice.
Kev?
My number four is a more recent film as well. This one came out last year, 2018, and that is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I never knew how awesome, I followed Spider-Man growing up, but I didn't follow all the different the different spider people. I've only followed Peter Parker.
Oh, there's spider people now, Kev? Yeah, way to be insensitive, man.
Yeah, you got the Spider-Verse, man.
Spider people is probably the best way to actually encompass all of them, because they're Spider-Men and women and children and pigs. So,
although the pig doesn't get representation then by saying people.
He's a people. He's a pig.
He's a pig person.
Ham people.
He's a ham people. God damn it.
Just from beginning to end, I just love this movie. Like, it had so much emotion to it. Miles Morales making him like the leader in this, or like the main character, was such a great idea. Like, I loved seeing that version of Spider-Man. Ultimate Spider-Man now? Is that Miles Morales' Ultimate Spider-Man?
I don't fucking know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
But either way, and to see, like, and just the different voice actors that were in this, you had, what was it? Jake Johnson was hilarious. He played, like, the fat Peter Parker. Yeah, or the Peter one with the pudge. Yeah. And then, like, people like Mahershala Ali was in it. Like, it's just, it's such a great cast. Absolutely loved it. I can't wait until 7 years from now when the sequel comes out. But I just loved the story, and it was just, even the song that Chance the Rapper did for it, it was just so catchy, and it was so good. I can't recommend that movie enough.
You're talking about Chance the Rapper. What about the song
Post Malone?
That's like the main song.
Was that Post Malone, man?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, today I learned. I don't listen to Post Malone. I'm like Ozzy Osbourne. Who the fuck is Post Malone?
Yep. It's Post Malone. Doug?
Oh, my turn. My number four is a movie from 2012.
Oh.
And it is a Western. And it is a movie.
Magnificent Seven? No, that was
No,
later.
It's not Magnificent Seven. No, Jesus. I'm pretty sure, yeah, it's a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Oh, shit balls.
It's Django Unchained.
Fuck you, that's man.
Damn good fucking movie.
Hold on, now I got changes. How is that
Django
not...
Unchained was a fucking phenomenal movie. Mm-hmm. And in Hateful Eight, I think really proved to me that, like, hey, bud, just make Westerns.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Like, I like your other movies, don't get me wrong. Love Kill Bill. But just make Westerns. And Inglourious Bastards, love it. Just make Westerns.
Just make historical pieces.
Historical pieces. But Django Unchained. Holy shit. Mm-hmm. The movie was great. Loved it.
Man. Christoph Waltz was amazing in that, too. That was in my honorable mentions. I was really considering getting that to the Man, but there's just so many.
Yeah,
I've only seen that a few times. It's a hard movie to watch, but it's amazing.
All right, I've knocked Mad Max went down to number six. Yeah, that you're right. It's got to be in the top five. That's my number five. I've replaced it. I had to. All right, number three is going to be Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
There you go.
I don't think there was a better Spider-Man film. It was one of the best films of the year and one of the decade. Mm-hmm. Incredible technological breakthroughs happened there. It was amazing to see Spider-Man in the Spider-Verse. I think that as much as I would want to see that in real life, I think it works really well for the animated world, and I think that's where it should probably stay. I can't wait for the sequel. It's going to be just as good, but yeah, I've seen it multiple times. And so it's very inspiring because it was just so different. It was good to see like a blend of new animation, with old animation. And so that was really cool. So that's my number three. Kev?
My number three is, man, it's another one with a soundtrack that I still listen to this day. And once again, I will watch this anytime it comes on, and that is Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh.
It's Cats! It just came out, and it's already in my mind.
Cats!
I want to go see Judi Dench's fucking huge sack, or whatever. Like, or didn't they have like they had to blur out someone's bulge?
No.
In that movie,
they let it shine.
They let it shine.
Mm-hmm.
Said who's the dominant cat?
Just like a cat would.
No, they had her human hands in it.
Yeah, they updated the movie. They sent out a patch.
A patch.
They patched a movie.
That's true.
This is where we're at in 2019. So Scott Pilgrim versus the World is amazing.
That's
by the
way, great pick.
Man, I just love
that was this decade.
Movie. Yeah, it was 2010.
Fuck. Just in under the wire.
Yeah, and Michael Cera is just as awkward. He plays it so well, but also just man, Mary Elizabeth Winstead is amazing in this. Edgar Wright, I think he directed. Yeah, he wrote and directed it. And it just felt like a video game movie, but it was like a good video game movie. They had enough references to keep it subtle for the nerds and then, but still keep like non-nerds engaged.
I think they came out with a pretty cool tie-in game as well, didn't they?
Yeah, yes. They had like a River City Ransom type game. It was an old pixel-based side-scroller, beat 'em up. It was really fun. Really hard.
Really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. With another great soundtrack by Anna Monoguchi.
Yeah, true, true. So, I mean, the soundtrack, like, if you haven't listened to the Scott Pilgrim soundtrack, it's got, Beck did all the music for their fake band, Sexbomb.
Sexbomb.
Yeah, so he does, like, they have his renditions of a couple of the songs, and then also they have their songs. They have, what was that, the band that played Clash at Demon Head, they have their version of Black Sheep, which was just Metro, or Metric?
Metric.
Yeah, Metric. They had a bunch of great songs on there. It's just, yeah, I can't recommend it enough. But that movie was
great
rad.
Cast too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was
Jason Schwartzman again.
Jason Schwartzman, Allison Pill, Chris Evans, Brendan Ralph,
Ellen Wong from Glow.
Yeah, and then shit. I was the guy that played Punisher first. Thomas Jane.
Yeah, Thomas Jane was.
As one of the vegan police. Yeah.
I loved it.
And then Brie Larson.
Yeah. Look where she's gone.
And Mae Whiteman.
Think of how many superheroes were in this.
Yeah, fuck ton. Yeah, because at first it was like, God, it had Superman and Captain America. And now also Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
And the Punisher.
And the Punisher.
And the Punisher. Yep.
Okay. Doug?
My number three... it was one of the weirdest movies I saw of the decade, and I'm so glad I did. And again, another phenomenal cast and a crazy story, almost like a biopic, sort of. And it's Birdman.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
Michael Keaton.
Damn good one.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
That movie will fucking stick with you. And it was just, it was just fucking crazy. And I loved it. I loved it. It was
well shot too.
It was good, yeah.
It was it was just so hard to explain.
They had
just
such a huge. They had that one really long one shot as well that went viral.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a good one.
Good stuff.
Also, that probably led to him being in Homecoming.
Yeah, maybe
like, that kind of put him back on the map. And then I think when Spider-Man Homecoming was coming out, and they were like Vulture, and they're like, yeah, that seems right.
Yeah. Right. Because it definitely seems like it's about his whole thing with Batman. Because you're playing this superhero in the 80s and how he's aged, and everyone mm-hmm. only sees him as that character, and how he wants to be more than that, and all this stuff. That's why it's like it's almost like a biopic mm-hmm. about Michael Keaton and his experience with Batman. But crazy, just a crazy movie, just fucking crazy.
My number two is going to be Guardians of the Galaxy, because it was the best Star Wars film since Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. We talked about that. Yeah.
Rogue One was pretty good.
I mean, sure. Did Rogue One come out before Guardians?
No.
Exactly.
They learned.
Well, okay. Well, then technically, yeah. I mean, then you're just discounting the prequels then. Because this still came out even before episode 7. So it still counts.
But I said since Return of the Jedi. So the prequels
right, I know.
Prequels weren't good.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You're only comparing you're not comparing the sequel trilogy, the current one, because those didn't come out until 2015.
Right. And so Guardians still beat it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, you're still true.
Yep. It was, boy, it gave me the feels of a Star Wars film, but also something completely original and new and funny. And I just adore the film. I've seen it at least 5 or 6 times now. It's something I can always go back to and watch and just enjoy. Great cast, great story, wonderful heart. That movie was just filled with it, and it showed another level of what Marvel can do with a film. So that's my number two.
Nice. My number two is, man, something I just, once again, I fucking love this, Cabin in the Woods. If you haven't seen, haven't seen this movie, I don't want to spoil the twist for you, but holy fuck, does this movie take a turn? It leads you to believe it's one movie, and then it's just a fucking 180.
I gotta thank you guys, because I would have never watched it if it wasn't for 8-Bit Horror Fest.
Oh man, I saw it in theaters before anyone spoiled it, and nobody knew what they were getting into. And it was amazing just being there for that audience reaction. Just fantastic movie. Great cast, and what was it? Like, Joss Whedon and Drew Goddard worked on it, and Drew Goddard ended up directing it. And it's just, like I said, well-written, very tongue-in-cheek, you know, kind of like just making fun of the genre. But they do it so well, and it just works on so many levels. And, man, I can't say enough good things about it. But anytime that's on, I'm watching it. And anytime we can talk about it, I'm talking about it. So feel free to spoil away with me in Discord afterwards.
So good. My number two is a movie I actually just mentioned a second ago, and that's Rogue One.
Oh, nice. Jeez.
Okay.
Yeah. It is, in my opinion, one of the best Star Wars movies we've gotten out of the Disney era of Star Wars movies. And what I like about it has been kind of one of my, the things I've said several times, especially in the last few months, month or less than, is that I like Star Wars outside of the Skywalker saga.
Yeah, we both agreed on that big time.
Yeah, like I love the books, I love the video games, I love the stuff that, like, you can give me Vader, whatever, that's fine, you know, sure, he's a big bad, I love it, but I'm okay. Like, I don't need Han Solo and Princess Leia and Luke Skywalker in my Star Wars. Like, I'm okay to not have them present. I'm okay with it. And that's what this movie gave you. I mean, again, while you did have Leia and Vader in it, like, it was just this, you know, at this point of the time, it's the story of them stealing the Death Star plans the first time. And you kind of go in knowing, like, these motherfuckers ain't going to survive. Like, it ain't going to happen. Like, no reason to get attached. But at the same time, you kind of do to a handful of the characters. Like, I walked out of that movie going, K2SO, best droid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, best fucking droid in this entire goddamn galaxy. And I remember walking out, we had just released our first episode of Saga, like, right before that movie came out. This came out in, like, December 2016. Our first episode dropped in November of 2016. And I literally was like, that motherfucker's PN15. Like, he don't, like, they don't know it yet. Like, that's it. Like, just a sassy back talking robot. And it was great. And then to finally see Vader in a movie where Vader actually was a little bit scary, where we got to actually watch him whoop ass.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we see him in A New Hope and Return of the Jedi, I believe, is when he does his, like, main lightsaber battles. And Empire Strikes Back, he does it there too. It, you know, it's the 70s and 80s. It's just kind of like, boo, bop. You know, and it's nothing. Whereas in the prequels, it's like all those crazy flourishes and just mind-boggling, like, lightsaber fights. So it's cool to see Vader get a cool lightsaber battle sort of thing that we've never seen him do before.
Also, he was, like, force tossing bitches.
Oh god, just like pinning them to the ceiling, and then just fuck all your blasters, and
yeah, you didn't see any of that in the old movie.
He became, it was a Jason moment for Vader, where it was just like,
I thought the same.
Yeah, in the darkness, boom, there he is, and then just cutting people down as he's just chasing the, like, one person through. It was fucking awesome. And yeah, I I am excited for more Star Wars without the without Luke and the Skywalkers. And this movie delivered, and I fucking loved it. Nice. And I want more of that. More of that, please, Disney.
All right, so we've reached number one, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to make one noise, and you guys can guess what number one is. Boom!
Huh? IMAX.
No. No.
It's Star Wars?
No. It's Inception.
No. Oh.
No. I thought that was a lightsaber.
Oh. No, that would have been... That would have been...
That's not listen, I have on Saga you constantly going, I light my lightsaber. Blow. Okay. Always go,
that's fair. That's fair.
Brown.
Brown. That's fair. I was trying to do the Inception horns, man.
Yeah.
So yeah, Inception. Oh boy, Christopher Nolan knocked it out of the park. The cast was incredible, from Leonardo DiCaprio, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Ellen Page. What a I have not seen in the last 10 years a movie with such originality and with such an incredible just thought that went into setting this up. The first time when you see a world like a city fold, the first time you see a train going down the road, the kick, I mean, going multiple layers into dream in a dream in a dream in a dream. I was in awe. The moving hotel room, like the turn, I mean, it was that all was cool. It was all just incredible. And I don't know if there's a better movie in the past 10 years. I mean, Christopher Nolan just fucking knocked it out of the park. I loved
that
it.
That made me think of, like, Scary Terry, bitch.
Yeah.
Oh, bitch.
Oh, I started laughing because I immediately was like, ah, Scary Terry, bitch. Oh, bitch.
So, yeah, Inception is my number one film of the decade. Kev?
Nice. That's a good one, man. I'm probably going to get flack for this one from some people.
Here we go.
If you fucking say Phantasma 4
or The Rebirth.
5.
But that came out like 2 years ago, so I can't use that.
2 years
ago? No, you're right. Here, never mind. No.
Okay,
good. I'm going to get flack for it because I'm sure people are going to be like...
If you say The Last Jedi, you're off the show.
No. Avengers Infinity War. First one. Not Endgame, because of the fact that, like, it was the first time, like, I think that a Marvel movie ended on a fucking sad note and didn't try to redeem itself. Like, I mean, spoilers for everyone. That's, like, I love how they ended it. They were just like, well, there's the snap. Everyone's fucked. There goes Thanos. Have a nice life. And it was like, that's the end. It ended with, like, Thanos, like, smiling on a fucking new day. And I was like, that is the most fuck you way to end a movie. And I love it.
And it ended just like he said it was going to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
like, he spoiled. I'm going to do the snap, and I'm going to go and enjoy.
Yeah, he spoiled it for you before. I mean, he talked about major spoilers. It was like in the beginning of the film, he's like, hey, fuckers, this is the way it's going to end. And you're just like, nah.
The bad guy wins. And it's funny because, like, the one time, I mean, like, they used compassion and it fucked him over. They chose, like, you should have went for the head. You know, shit like that. It's like, it's so hype. But, like, following these characters for 10 years and then finally getting to see, and like I said, other people's opinions may vary. But my opinion, like, seeing, like, that many superheroes on one screen, even though it was chaos on screen, like, it was so fucking cool to see everyone come together, you know, from the Marvel Universe. It was the comic book dream that a lot of us thought of. Maybe I'm, or maybe it's just me, but I fucking loved it, and I absolutely thought Infinity War was just top level, especially compared, I mean, especially that we got the payoff to so many storylines that we've been kind of dedicating ourselves to over the last 10 years.
Nice. Yeah. Doug, what's your number one movie of the decade?
My number one movie,
Fast and the Furious.
Hobbs and Shaw.
Not even a Fast and Furious movie. It was the fucking spinoff.
Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw. No. It is a movie I have watched way more than I thought I would, especially since it came out last year. I think I've watched it like 3 or 4 times.
Last Jedi.
Last Jedi. No, it's Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Nice.
Yeah.
I have watched that movie way too many times. And I've watched it with all a number of times. He loves Spider-Man. I love Spider-Man. I love Spider-Man. I've loved Miles Morales since he appeared back in 2011. Mm-hmm. And I love kind of the whole idea behind Miles Morales, like the fact that these people wanted to make a Spider-Man. And so they created Miles and they based him off of Donald Glover, like his look mm-hmm. in the comics and stuff originally. And then Donald Glover voiced him in the cartoon series. I forget which one. But they did a like multiverse Spider-Verse sort of storyline, and he appeared. And that's when it was Drake Bell was the voice of Spider-Man. So whatever show that was. And then, yeah, it was just hilarious. And then I loved like in was it Homecoming? Donald Glover played Miles Morales' uncle. The one that we then see actually into the Spider-Verse, the one that plays that's by what's his face? Mahershala Ali.
Mm-hmm.
Plays the uncle, that uncle, Aaron something, or I don't, it doesn't matter. Anyways, I love that movie. We fucking ruled. I love the a lot of the like background stuff too. That's one of my favorite things, to find Easter eggs in the background. I love when Peter B. Parker lands on Broadway or like or Times Square, and there's posters for stuff. So like From Dusk Till Dawn, and it's like a Shaun of the Dead poster. Yep. And then there's like Hi Hello instead of Oh Hello with which is funny, John Mulaney, who does the voice of Spider-Ham, John Mulaney and Nick Kroll's show Oh Hello. Like, it was just so, just I just love that stuff. There's like a Seth Rogen joke about like some movie he's in called like The High Life or something like that, or high on Your Saddle or something, and he's like on a fucking horse. It's just, it's ridiculous, and I just love finding those little details in that movie. And it's just, it's a good Spider-Man movie. It's the best Spider-Man movie, and we've talked about, you know, some of the like technical achievements that they did, like the changing of frame rates for one Spider-Man versus the other, where Miles is done at like the standard 12 frames a second when we first see him, so it's a little mm-hmm. more choppy, whereas adult grown Peter Parker is at like 24 frames a second or whatever, which is standard film, so he's a lot more smooth. And then as the movie goes on and Miles learns Spider-Man, his frame rate goes up too, and his animation becomes smoother. So like at the very, towards the end, when he jumps off and he's, you know, he's Spider-Man again, after kind of giving it up for a little bit, he's like, it's smooth. Like he knows what he's doing. He's Spider-Man. And then all the variant Spider-Man that we see from Spider-Gwen to Spider-Ham, that movie fucking ruled. And,
agreed.
I love Spider-Man. And that movie, it was the movie I didn't know that I wanted or needed, and it blew me away.
Nice.
I just want to say, I was this many years old when I realized that was his uncle Aaron in Homecoming. I didn't know that was Donald Glover's character. I thought he was just a side character. I didn't think anything of that.
Yeah, he goes. I got to get to my nephew Miles's birthday.
Yeah, man.
I didn't even think anything of it when he said it. That's
yeah, he said that, and I went.
Mm-hmm.
But I also knew the character's name because I saw that he was Aaron something. I forget what it is.
So you think like Donald Glover would actually come back into the universe as what was it, Nightmare or whatever? What was the character, that villain or the suit he had?
Yeah, Prowler. Oh, I don't know.
That would be crazy. That'd be awesome to introduce Donald Glover into the MCU then.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to games. It's our last segment, and we'll talk the top 5 games. Doug, you'll go first this time, and then I'll go second. And Kev, you're in the fucking rear.
All right.
All right. So, Doug, what's your number 5 game of the decade?
Okay, so his name is Aaron Davis. Okay, here we go. So here's the thing. I initially just wrote these out. I didn't put them in any specific... So let me kind of decide what I'm gonna do real quick. My number 5 is Star Wars The Old Republic, the MMO. I have sunk so many fucking hours into this game. Oh, I've played almost every class. I've done almost every story. I fucking love it. Again, I love Star Wars away from the goddamn Skywalkers. and this game gave it to you like 8 fucking ways, and it was awesome.
That is also my number 5. How about that?
Yeah.
How about that?
Is it really?
Yeah, it's my number 5. Because I just made it that way.
Nice.
Because
what was your number 5 originally?
I can't say because it's my number 4 now. But okay. I will say that Grand Theft Auto 5 got knocked off my list because I forgot about
GTA got knocked off. It's not even on my list.
Yeah, it got knocked off because I was just like, holy shit, I forgot about the Knights of the Old Republic. So yeah, I'm right with Doug. I've spent many hours in that game. I've beat it many times over with multiple characters. When it first launched, I was addicted to Hutball. I played that religiously every night. Like, I was so good at it. I thought it was great. And going back to it's a little tough because just the way the play style is nowadays, like, you're just like, oh, I want this to be a lot faster. And like,
it is faster. That's what I was telling Kev the other day. We were talking about
it.
You
gotta pay.
Yeah. You gotta pay the
troll toll.
The troll toll to get into this boy's hole. But you, man, that show didn't make my top. Oh God, Sunny. God damn Sunny.
That's been around since like 2006. Yeah.
But yeah, like if you pay the subscriber fee, cause you can play for free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You level up so quick. You don't have to do shit, man. You just got to do the story missions. That's it. The longest thing is the travel.
Well, but I don't mean just it leveling unlocks up
the fast travel shit for you. It doesn't fucking matter, man.
I'm not talking about like speed of game and like leveling up. I just mean like the combat. Like I wanted it to be, like going back to it. Now I look at it, I'm like, you know, even with lightsaber battles and stuff, I want it more actiony other than press buttons, you know, 1, 2, 3, and then watching an animation. Like I'd rather, so I'd kind of like that. So yeah, the Old Republic, Knights of the Old Republic, my number 5 of the decade. Kev.
My number 5 is Bloodborne, which is a Souls type game from the Dark Souls folks.
From Software.
I thought my brain went to, I was like, Battleborn? Really?
Battleborn. Number 5. Hey, listen, really like that party, guys.
You have slobbed their knob enough. You do not need to keep thanking them for the open bar, listen, man.
They let me see Deltron 3030 live. I will fucking plug them. At least for a couple more years.
God,
until the game servers go offline, then it'll be forgotten.
That's my number one moment of the last decade with 8-Bit Geek is constantly telling Kevin, you do not need to buy this game to thank them for this party. And then Kev just would not stop. No, they did so much for me. And I was like, Kev, they don't know you.
They helped my relationship.
And then he bought it, and a week later he went, well, this was a bad idea.
No, he didn't. He loved the game.
No, I played it. I played the story mode. I didn't do much of the fucking whatever.
No one did.
Weird yeah. MOBA thing that they were doing. Yeah, exactly.
No one did.
So, but no, Bloodborne was like the Dark Souls type game on PS4. It was PS4 exclusive. It was one of the first games it was the first game that I truly platinumed, which means to get every trophy in the game. And it was just one of the hardest things I ever had to do. There was just one boss that you had. They take away 3/4 of your life and then put you in a room that is half the size of what they are. And it's just insane. And so just getting that was amazing. The only platinum I had before that was like a Telltale game. So I don't count those. But Bloodborne's amazing. If you haven't played that and you want a challenge, or you hate yourself and you want a challenge, get Bloodborne. I can't recommend it enough. We just want a part 2 already.
All right. Number 4.
Man, yeah, you mentioned Telltale, and that just like I didn't even think about Telltale games. Yeah.
Bunch of games.
Batman. Oh, their Batman games are the best. My number 4 is Uncharted 4.
Fuck.
I put almost more of the Uncharted series on here, but unfortunately, 2 of those came out before the 2010s. Especially the best one.
Remasters.
Yeah. No, it came out again. Now, but Uncharted 4, and it has 2 of my absolute favorite people in it, Nolan North and Troy Baker. And I cannot recommend enough their YouTube show, Retro Replay, but Uncharted 4, so fucking good. And I, what I liked about it is that, slight spoilers, I guess, if you haven't fucking played it by this point, because it came out in 2016, so you've had a while now to play this, but I like that there wasn't a, like, supernatural element in this game. You know, there was, like, Yetis in one game, and then, like, spirit things in the third one, and then Nazi zombies in the first one. It was cool to just have, like, an actual, like, just crazy action adventure game with kind of an older Drake. He's a little bit older in this one. Phenomenal story. And again, I kept waiting for that shoe to drop. I kept waiting for, like, pirate skeletons or some shit to, like, rise from the grave. I was just waiting for it. But, no, it was... That game just fucking ruled. It was gorgeous.
My number four is going to be Rocket League.
Nice.
Man, there's not a game that I sunk more hours into. I think that I have like 160 hours in Rocket League, something stupid. But that game grabbed me and it did not let go for a very long time. It was competitive. It was fun. I got to play it with my friends all the time when it first came out. They kept me engaged when they did, like, this, all these unlocks and all these cool cars. I purchased every single DLC. I really fell in love with that game. I haven't played it in a couple months, you know, but, yeah, I thought I was pretty good at the game, and then I quickly realized I wasn't, but I still didn't give up. And we had some characters that came to life through that game by trolling other people with, Hot Charles and
Hot Charles.
Good memories. Drunken streams
with Hot Hot Charles talking shit all game long.
Yeah. Man, I was thinking about some of this when I was making this list, like, because I was like, man, we used to play a lot of PUBG and shit too. Mm-hmm. We used to have so much fun playing those games.
I was this close to adding just the battle royale genre into my list, yeah. And making it just a whole thing, because I was just like, PUBG, like, we had four people most of the time. The three of us usually got on, and we would just spend hours laughing at the ridiculous kills, all that stuff. So yeah, I mean, so right along with that, Rocket League is my number four, just because of all the fun that it brought me, or all the happiness that it brought me. So, yeah. All right. Kev?
That's awesome. My number four is a game that came out exclusively on the Vita, and it sucks that it did.
Oh, Castlevania Rocks.
Castlevania Rocks. That was my number four. Also, Persona 4 Golden. This is a JRPG. The original Persona 4 came out on PlayStation 2, and it was fun, but this Golden version was like a updated, like, higher res version, had a bunch of behind the scenes stuff, had a bunch of extra in-game stuff. It was like the definitive version of Persona 4. And I sunk about 90 hours into this game. I got really invested into the characters. One of the best soundtracks. I find myself listening to the soundtrack of this game years after I've played it. And it's just a fun, like, it's a overarching story is a murder whodunit. Someone is taking people into this, like, television world and killing them there and hiding the bodies there so that they can't be found because they're in this other world. They found, like, some portal, and they're going through and murdering people and bringing them through. And so this group of high school students are trying to kind of solve the murder case. And since the cops aren't doing it, and they get these abilities called personas, and then you level those up. Kind of like Pokemon with demons, but it's so much fun. The storyline is catchy, and Troy Baker's got a character in it. So, return to Troy Baker.
What?
Yeah, I caught Doug's attention. But I can't recommend that game enough. It's one of my favorite RPGs of all time. It's up there with Final Fantasy VII and Chrono Trigger. I love Persona 4 Golden.
Nice.
Noise. All right, on to number three. Man, I was just thinking about this list also. Because 2018 for PlayStation was just a fucking good year for games.
Yes,
and I just realized, like, I didn't have one of my favorite games of that year on this list, but that's fine. So my number three, though, is from 2018. It's God of War.
Mm-hmm.
So fucking good. I almost put Spider-Man was one I was thinking about, obviously. But It was a fucking phenomenal game, and the documentary about the making of the game was also incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And guess who's in this game?
Miles Morales. Oh,
Miles Morales. No, Nolan North and Troy Baker. Yep. as Thor's sons that you fight as them again. So they once again are playing brothers, which was fitting. But yeah, man, just fucking phenomenal story. This is a different play style than the previous games. But there's just something about Kratos in Nordic mythology, Norse mythology. There it is, Norse mythology that fucking rules.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited for what's to come with a sequel of some sort, because the story with the sun was incredible and crazy. And one thing about Norse mythology is that time is like a loop, so like the events keep happening over and over again. So like while we see, you know, it seems like maybe Thor's dead or like Odin's dead or whatever's happening, like Ragnar, all that shit, like it'll come back, they'll reappear. And so that shit is super exciting, just to see if they use that and stuff. So anyways, God of War, god, game ruled.
My number three is actually Marvel's Spider-Man.
Nice. Great game.
It what a fucking wake up call, you know, and just a kind of evolution of what the fighting kind of system and style that started with the Batman Arkham series, and you know, they just perfected it. It's really good shit. And then we had such a touching moment with Stan Lee that made me cry in the beginning of the game. And
I cried after the DLC, because the game came out before he passed.
Mm-hmm.
But the DLC came out after he passed. And at the very end, when you finish the DLC, a little splash screen shows up at the end. And I was streaming it. And I don't know if anyone clipped it, but you can watch the stream, like, you know, last year, of that popping up. And me bawling. Mm, yeah. Like, I literally was like, no, like, why would you do this?
I was not ready.
I was too soon.
They recaptured Spider-Man in a game, something that was lacking since Spider-Man the movie game. I think it was Spider-Man the movie.
Spider-Man 2.
They were saying Spider-Man 2. 2,
yeah.
It's Spider-Man the movie 2 or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. But
PS2.
Just flying through the city was a ton of fun. You know, the people complain a little bit that the side missions and stuff, you know, there wasn't enough going on in the city, but I didn't care.
Pretty repetitive, but
it is. But the main story was really well done, and I just really enjoyed myself with that game, and so it makes my list as number three.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I'm bummed it wasn't on my list, and again, that was one I caught a second ago.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah, my number three is... I'm starting to get more normal games, guys. My number three is Red Dead Redemption. Holy shit. When that came out, I wasn't ready. Like, I remember hearing about it, and I was like, oh, cool, Wild West game. And then they were talking about the online features of having, like, a posse. And so me and my friends were like, fuck yeah, let's form a posse. Let's do it.
You and Take Two with your online. You just love those loading screens.
Yeah. But Red Dead Redemption the story was so captivating, and it was such a great Western. The music was great at its time. It was one of the most gorgeous looking games that was out there, and it's just so much life to live. Like, there's so much to do. It was such a great living world. And the DLC that followed it with Undead Nightmare.
Oh God, Undead Nightmare was so good.
So good. And it's like, they did such a great job with that game, and that's why people were clamoring for a sequel for so many years. And it's just like, yeah, dude, it's easily my number three. So that's Red Dead Redemption.
Nice. Doug?
Kevin again?
Doug, what's your number two?
Hey, I want to interrupt this list real quick. I was going through Instagram because my wife tagged us in a thing, but I was going through the stories. Our good friend, Wolfgang, mm-hmm. looks like he got a Peloton.
Oh, he did. I saw that.
Hey, bud, let me know how that works out and if it's worth it, because I totally want one. I don't want to pay for one, but I want one. Oh, anyways, I think it's funny just because we talked about them a couple weeks ago. Anyways, my number two is a game that I've played a fuck ton over the last 7 years that it's been out. I have had a lot of fun co-oping it, co-op play with my good friend.
Oh, no, how did I completely forget about this fucking series?
And that's Borderlands 2. Borderlands 2 came out in 2012, and literally they were supporting it all the way up through this year with a new DLC that came out right before Borderlands 3 to get you ready for it. And fuck me, that game rules. It has such replayability with all the DLC, the different characters, and just a phenomenal game. And characters and humor, and it is fucking great. I love that game. I love that game so much.
Yeah.
I completely forgot about that. All right, my number two. I'm cheating a little bit, because there's technically two games as my number two because they came from the same studio, and that's The Last of Us and Uncharted 4. And I put them in the same category, in the same level, because they're two of the greatest single-player experiences. I don't even call them stories. I say experiences that I've ever had in my life. Last of Us had me on the edge of my seat. I was just enthralled with how much like emotion that a game can pull out of me right from the beginning, like in the car. I just can't say a good enough stuff about The Last of Us. And then Uncharted 4 took me on a wild ride that capped off. I played I think this year, or no, it was last year when I was out of work. I completely went through all four games, and I've never done something like that before. I binged them.
Yeah.
And so, I love everything that comes out of that studio, and they do it for me. They do it hard for me.
Naughty Dog. Naughty Dog. You know who's in those games? Both of them?
Troy Baker and
Nolan North. In fact, speaking of like the beginning of The Last of Us, they on their retro replay, they've been doing a playthrough of The Last of Us. They started a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And the first episode is, you know, it's Nolan playing the opening of the game. Mm-hmm. And it's Troy Baker and the actress that played the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
In that opening sequence. Yeah, who's now, you know, like 20 instead of like 12 or whatever. You know,
yeah, it came out like 2013.
Yeah, I'm sure. I don't remember what year it came out. But it is, dude, I even texted the group because I was like, hey, this is out. And then like an hour later, like, hey, this is intense. Because the opening of the game is intense. But then they're all sobbing. Like, they are all crying. Nolan North, like, when the opening happens and stuff, like, when it gets to that part, he's literally, I mean, he's just, like, eyes wide, mouth agape, just like, holy fuck. Like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting in my office at work, like, I don't remember the daughter's name, but just like, you know, oh god, it is insane. I highly recommend these series. They're doing a Uncharted playthrough. They're on Uncharted 2 now, and a Last of Us playthrough, and it's awesome.
Yeah,
both of them are awesome. Yeah. To revisit the game as well as hear like the kind of behind the scenes stuff as they bring in a lot of these actors and stuff that are in it. So, but good choices, my dude.
Thank you, Kev.
Mm-hmm. My number two is BioShock Infinite.
That's a great choice. It almost made my list.
Man, it is one of my favorite single player. You talk about experiences. It's one of my favorite single player experiences. I after coming off the first BioShock, I didn't think they would be able to either shock or surprise or even like capture me the way that the original BioShock did. BioShock 2, it wasn't made by the same studio, so I give them a pass. BioShock Infinite was the same studio. It was Irrational Games. It was Ken Levine, you know, the originator. And man, this game floored me. And the ending was one of the, like, I just loved it so much. Everything, like when it all started clicking and making sense, it was just insane. I can't tell you enough. I can't recommend this game enough for someone who wants to experience just an unbelievable single player story. It's just a great game all around. And it's got a little starring character. You might know him as Troy Baker playing Booker DeWitt.
I'm starting to see a trend here.
There's a trend, but it's amazing. Like, I can't recommend this game enough, man. It's so beautiful. And it's such a fun game to play.
Nice.
Go get this game.
All right. We've reached the number one spot, the number one game of the decade. Doug?
My number one game.
God, please let ours be the same. Please let ours be the same.
It's probably not. I'm guessing not, because of the way you reacted to when Kev mentioned it on his list earlier. That's Red Dead Redemption.
Oh.
I figured. I knew it had to be somewhere on there for you.
It's not on my list because I never finished the first one, and I haven't finished the second one yet.
Oh. The first one is phenomenal. For all the reasons that Kev mentioned, like, the DLCs were great. And I'm so angry that they're not doing that for two, and that it's all online stuff. Yeah. I love Undead Nightmare was phenomenal, and they came out this October and we're like, we have no plans to do anything like Undead Nightmare. And it's like, go fuck yourself. God, go fuck yourself. Yes. So good. But dude, that game, it just phenomenal story. And I'm partial to Westerns to begin with. In fact, I think every single one of my list has a Western of some sort on it. If you count The Mandalorian as a Western, which I do because it fucking is. This game ruled. And I've talked about several times on the show just like how they did the music for this game was unlike anything they'd done for music in other games ever before. And the soundtrack is so good. Also, you can get the soundtrack for the game as well. That is just phenomenal. The story were great. The characters were great. It, you know, it's by Rockstar. And so Rockstar has that tendency of like making these just outlandish characters in like their GTA games. You just have these characters where you're just like, I just think like Trevor, where it's just like, how are you allowed on the street? Like, this does not make sense. And they do that in Red Dead Redemption. But in a way that, like, I feel like it's more fitting for the time period as well, like, what the characters are doing, where you're like, how are you on the street? Oh, it's the Old West. They're not looking for you right now. Like, you're not top priority. Whereas, like, Trevor would be like, how are you not in max security prison? Doesn't make sense. In 2016, how the fuck you're allowed to be walking on the street? This makes no goddamn sense whatsoever. But, like, Red Dead, yeah, it works. And you meet these just outlandish characters. But I don't know. It's just good stuff, and they've done a good job in two. I also have not finished two, but the first one, that game, and the ending is going to stick with me forever. It's just one of the best Western stories ever fucking told, and nice. That's why it's my top game of the decade. Game fucking ruled.
Good pick.
I'm really sad that this didn't make your list, Doug. And I thought it would, because our love for it, the Arkham games, the Batman Arkham games are my number one of the decade. I'm lumping them all together because there are no fucking rules here. But I make them. I love Batman. My love of Batman goes back to me being a child, and there's nothing more than I wanted to do was to be Batman. The Batman games that we've gotten in the past have fucking sucked. And
Batman Returns on Super Nintendo was pretty fun.
I never had a Super Nintendo.
So that was the only one. So it was many, many moons.
And to be able to experience that was really special to me. And that goes throughout all the games in the series that have happened. It really holds a special place in my heart. I'm so happy that we've got these games. And not only that, but They got the voice actors from the animated series, which would be Mark Hamill and Troy Baker. No.
Well, technically
yes. He was in all of them. He's also the voice of Two-Face.
Yep.
And Nolan North is in this as well.
Is Penguin.
Yeah. Yeah.
God damn it. They really are in everything.
I just looked it up, and they are both in Star Wars The Old Republic.
Jesus Christ. So they're in everything. The only thing they're not in on my list is Rocket League.
Wait.
But you know of
Red Dead Redemption.
That I know of.
But they're not in Red Dead Redemption. That's true.
There you go.
Well, I don't know. Okay, another not in two. I don't know.
Troy Baker is the Joker in Batman Origins.
Yep.
And then of course, oh my God, how can I have a brain fart on Batman? The greatest Batman voice of all time.
Kevin Conroy.
Yeah, Conroy. I love this series so much. They nailed every aspect of it. Suit upgrades, the fight mechanics. Like, they invented the modern kind of beat 'em up for that type of style of games. And the suit upgrades, the gadget upgrades. You get to drive the fucking car in the last one, even though that was the worst game of the series. It was kind of weak, but I still loved it. And I'm very hopeful that we're going back to Batman again in the next game from Rocksteady. They've been teasing it, but they haven't announced anything. They fucking started a campaign with the Batman logo up on the side of the wall and it seemed like their social media account was like posting all this Batman related stuff, and then all of a sudden it went dark again. So I don't know what the fuck happened, but yeah, I love Batman, and I love this game series. So that's my number one of the decade.
It's awesome, man.
Kev, what's your stupid game? No, I'm just...
Man, my number one is what Doug was talking about earlier, Borderlands 2.
Oh, nice, yeah.
Shit, dude, I purchased that on every system that you can purchase it on because it is so good, and I can replay it through so many times. The storyline's been amazing. Me and my wife played it from beginning to end together, and the DLC was all on, like, it was beautiful. It was DLC that felt worth its money, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, there's some DLC that comes out that's like 15 minutes or 20 minutes long. It just doesn't feel like it's worth it. Mm-hmm. Borderlands will make you work, and you'll put some time into them. And their DLC is fantastic.
Even the new DLC that came out this year was like, it was like 8 hours to complete the story, but it was like more if you did everything. It was like 12 hours or something if you did everything. Which is
that's
like
crazy.
That's some games that come out like that.
Yeah.
And I think it was free.
It was free for a limited time. Like, if you got it within a certain time.
Well, still though.
But yeah, it's so cool of Gearbox to do that. That and then releasing like a 4K update. Once again, supporting a game that came out in 2012.
Yeah.
But then, you know, all the next updates. Yeah, they got the patch updates and everything. It was cool to see them do that. But Borderlands 2 is still a game you can go back. Like, I just love the writing of it. I love the characters. There's so many memorable scenes in it, and like I said, it does hit the feels. Especially there's one DLC in particular that just hits the fucking feels. Mm-hmm. And man, I just love it for that, and that's my game of the decade, man.
Nice. Well, that's our lists, and that's our show. If you have your top games and movies and TV shows of the decade, please share it with us in the Discord. We'd love to see what you guys have in yours. But man, until the new year, till next week, stay tuned, because we'll do a quick Q&A before we have to get out of here in the after show. But for the last time of this decade, I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
And until next week, lots of love, hugs, and all that bullshit.